Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Roman Walters.
And we are Three Guys On. Coming in the strains of the Jacksons.
Jackson 5.
They were still Jackson 5 at this point.
Yeah, technically. This was the album that had All I Do Is Think of You on it.
Yeah. Andy immediately went and bought it. And I'm going to buy it in about 20 minutes.
$5 for the album.
I'm going to buy it in about 20 minutes. I'm reading Santana's autobiography right now. He's got me buying a lot of music.
He just name drops it.
He mentions people, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He mentioned people. Cream. Yeah, like that, the Birds. Buddy Guy. A lot of Eric Clapton talks about that a lot. And you're like, oh, shit, that song. And then you go back.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit, that song. That's why it's dangerous when you read something like that.
True, and you end up in that, like, rabbit hole of going from one song to the next.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you know, you're downloading the whole 2-3 albums.
Yeah. What's happening, people? We're happy that you guys are back here with us. We're happy that you guys enjoyed our last podcast. And thanks for all the Twitter mentions and stuff like that. We could use emails. We can always
use
emails.
We got three this week, I think.
We're going to do one today and maybe two on Thursdays.
And we have two short episodes this week. Yeah. So prepare yourselves. We had two long ones last week. We got a time constraint going.
We're
going
to get short ones today. Andy was in Baltimore over the weekend. How'd that go for you?
I was at Magoobie's Joke House. It was a lot of fun. The Saturday shows... The Saturday early show started about 5 minutes after the Ravens were eliminated from the playoffs. And Baltimore is a huge football town. I spoiled the game for someone. I mentioned on stage that the Ravens lost. And
yeah, he was DVRing.
His two girls up front were like, like, especially one of them. I think she was like, she was hoping to get through the night without finding out what happened.
In Baltimore. She was just going to walk around with her hands over her ears and her face looking at the ground the whole time?
I guess. I mean, people were in the crowd with Ravens jerseys, a lot of them.
Crying.
You know, because they'd probably gone to watch the game and then come to the comedy show. Or there's a bar at Magoobie's you can watch the game and then go over to the comedy show. But yeah, they were, I don't know if they were pissed, but they were definitely shocked when I said, yeah, the Ravens lost. What? I said, oh, did I just spoil that for you? Did I just spoil the game? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry about that.
Come on, ladies.
Fucking women.
Dummies.
But yeah, it was opening for Brian Scott McFadden. Hilarious. And Brian Preston, Baltimore guy, was hosting. So, good times.
And I'll be there the first weekend in February, 5th, 6th, and 7th. Opening for Bob Kelly, who just put an hour up on Comedy Central. You have to excuse me, I'm eating cinnamon bun.
Randall's eating into the microphone. Rule number one of radio, ask Courtney Farrington. You don't eat into the microphone. Courtney is pissed right now.
Yeah, Courtney is always mad.
He's
always
right
mad
at me. Listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I'll be opening for Bob Kelly. I just watched his. I was watching it last night. I fell asleep, but I'm gonna keep watching. So his Comedy Central special is very funny. I'll be with him. Also, I'll be in Frederick on the 6th at the Cellar Door. And
Frederick, Maryland.
Frederick, Maryland.
Do you know who's on that show?
No. And then I am at, no, I don't. And then March 6th, it's a little far out, but March 6th, I'm in Easton, Maryland at the Avalon Theater.
Avalon Theater.
Yes. On that one, I do know it's Jesse Thomas. I'm taking Jesse Thomas with me.
We did a Three Guys On show there once.
Mm-hmm.
Went back when we did shows together. Back mm-hmm. when Tim was around.
Back when Tim was still here.
Tim's not here, guys.
Well, I saw last night.
Yeah, I didn't see him. I was at Magoobie's. Tim has his, he has his daughter. He's got a daughter. She's not old enough.
Yeah.
It's not like your kid.
And according to my wife, he's kind of clueless. This is what my wife said.
Clueless as in...
He brought her over to the house.
Parenting
he
skills.
He brought her over to the house Saturday. She was like, yeah, you should probably talk to him.
You going to throw him under the bus like that? He's going to throw Tim...
Your Coke is over there.
Okay.
He was like, you should talk to him. It's like, I have been.
Experience is the teacher.
He's just young.
Experience is always a teacher. You can't just
young
tell
in the,
someone.
Young in the parenthood game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's new to having the baby at his house, I think. Is that what the story is? Yeah. So he's got a learning curve.
Yes. And let me tell
Why
you
won't she sleep?
It's fast. You better do it fast because your child will die if you don't get it right. They die. So
kids die every day from people who don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Exactly. You better learn quick. You're going to learn today.
All right, we're going to the gun range.
I watched too many Law and Order episodes to be comfortable with kids at all anyway.
Oh, like little babies. It's insane. Romaine comes to the house, and Ava will go try to talk to him or something. He just stands in one spot like a cockroach. He does the cockroach defense. He just stands in one spot.
You know, the
stiffens up in his shoulders.
All you got to do is remember when you were seven.
Right.
You don't remember conversations you had with anyone.
Right.
All this is forgettable to her. You don't have to clam up. It's not going to affect her at all.
Well,
you can do whatever the fuck you want.
What makes me clam up more is that, like, especially now, a lot of people are particular with their kids. Before, for some reason, maybe like 5 years ago, I was better with kids. 25, I was just like, hey, I'm just going to have the
cuckolding.
Yes, true.
Before I had to de-lock their kids.
Get the thousand-yard stare now.
Well, at that point, the kids are older. They can be out the house. But, I don't know. Parents are just more... I guess they hover over more. He's like, don't say that. He was like, I just mentioned like something simple.
Well,
a cartoon.
Again, that's all.
We don't watch that.
That's
we don't do
on
that.
The parent,
right?
Number one, and number two, that's on the parent for letting their kids around you, monster.
Yeah.
And two, the kid will not remember 99% of what happens in its childhood. It's just the way it goes. So it doesn't matter. You can put all kinds of thoughts in that kid's head. It's not going to scar her.
And you should.
You should.
You should.
No, you don't have to clam up, though. If she asks you a question, you can't answer it.
I'm getting better now.
It's right up there with Courtney freezing up when she came running in the room naked one time when
that's
she was
different.
Like 18 months.
Yeah.
18, 19 months. You'd have thought a gorilla walked in the room. She's naked. I'm like, yeah, kids do that. They run around naked.
Courtney,
like,
why are you looking at the ceiling? What's up there?
Trying not to make eye contact. I don't want to make eye contact with the gorilla.
You look up the ceiling. Randolph has naked pictures of his daughter all over the ceiling.
Yeah, all over the place. Go ahead, look up there.
I can't escape it.
I'm better with my kids, with my friends' kids. Like, my friends' kids, I know them. We go way back since, like, high school, middle school with some of them. And I'm just like, their kid shows up. I'm like, all right, get out of here, dude. And I'm just all, but with people who I'm just like, adult.
Yeah.
Up. I'm like, I don't know what I'm allowed to do. They don't know me like that. I gotta back up.
And plus, if they've listened to the podcast, they might have ideas, too. They might not want you influencing their child.
They know what you're bringing.
Right. Negatively. I mean, I'm not just, like, swinging it out in front of a kid. Like, hey, kid, how you doing? Like, that's just, like I said, I watched enough Law and Order to know.
That's not what Ava told me.
Yeah, we haven't heard all your stories.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Romaine said something about a hot dog. I'm like,
what did he say?
Did he say about the lost year where I just whipped my dick out in front of kids a lot? No, you didn't, Romaine. That was that, 2009?
You didn't mention that part. That was.
I want to thank Naomi Johnson for having me on that D.C. Short Film Festival. I did that Friday night, Saturday night. That was pretty fun. Very easy.
So would you guys go up between short films?
Mm-hmm. It was like two movies.
Right.
You do some comedy, and there's a couple movies, and then a couple more, and then somebody else does comedy, and then a couple more movies.
How long were the movies then? Like 10 minutes? Like
10 minutes. Shorts? Like
okay.
10 minutes, but well
were
shot.
Were they funny?
Movies. Yeah.
They're all comedy.
All the ones I were watching were.
Yeah. You didn't have like a. Here's a short about the Holocaust.
Yeah, I was worried about that. I said that at this radio interview I did. I was like, they're funny, right?
Right.
It's like, and here's a documentary about Auschwitz. Coming to the stage, you know. God.
Let's lighten the mood now. Here's a comedian.
It was weird because the three black comics were on the same show.
Of the because you have multiple shows. You have Friday and Saturday.
Two shows.
Yeah.
And there was six comics split between two shows.
Right.
The three black comics happen to be on the same show. Isn't that weird?
Well, I mean, some bookers don't see color.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're talking about. Were all the movies black short films?
No, the ones on mine were Spanish.
Okay.
It's like two Spanish ones and one English one.
So it was like a minority night.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. And then the other one, that was all like just a regular down-home,
good old
American short
films. The movies I did had death. They involved death. Wow. One was about a little boy. He's writing he's doing a report on class on his father, like a show and tell. So it was like, you have to write a report on your father. And he keeps talking about the product. And my father does this, and he moves this type of product. And sometimes, you know, you have to really work on the product. My father is a businessman. His father kidnaps people and ransoms them back to rich people. Oh. And he helps his dad do that.
I thought it was going to be a drug dealing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what you think. No, he's kidnapping people.
Right.
And it was like how the kid gets close to the it's called Stockholm, because the kid always gets close to the people that they ransom. They never kill him, although there is one scene where the kid is outside and they're cutting somebody apart. This guy walks in with a chainsaw, and you see like blood go up against glass, and the kid is sitting underneath the glass just drawing. And
like it's nothing.
It was funny.
Well, the kid's going to forget most of that. As I said, and that's not going to leave an impression on the child.
Another one that followed that one was another one from Spain, where a guy, he goes and buys a black suit. And then he goes to buy some sleeping pills. And then you see him, he's sitting in his car, and the car's filling up with exhaust.
Right.
And then he goes home, and his wife is on the phone, and it's clear that he's a henpecked guy.
Right.
And his wife asks him, "Oh, you bought a black suit. What'd you buy a black suit for?" He was like, "Oh, I just wanted a black suit." She was, "Well, put it on. We'll see you in it." "No, I don't feel like wearing it. Maybe one day I'll wear it. And you'll be proud of me in it." So you think, oh, this motherfucker's trying to kill himself.
Right.
He's going to kill himself because he's tired of his life. He drops a hairdryer into some water, shorts out all the house.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Tells his wife, "I love you so much.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Everything is going on. Blah, 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 blah." Then he's driving in a car. You hear a crash. And then it's like a fade black, and there's a shot of him. And then there's a funeral procession. Oh, he bought a coffee. He opens up with him buying a coffin online. There's a funeral procession. It's the wife. He killed the wife.
Twist.
Because she was cheating on him. He found out she was cheating on him. So all this time you think he's going to commit suicide.
Right.
They go back and they show you where he heard her on the phone with her boyfriend. And then everything that he's doing, you realize, no, he's getting ready to kill her. He bought the suit to wear to her funeral. He bought the coffin for her. He bought the sleeping pills. He put them in her drink, but she dropped the drink on the floor. It was like, shit.
Right.
He dropped the hairdryer in the water to short out the high, so he would have to go outside to change the fuse. He took the brake fluid out of her car.
That's why
he needed a reason to be out of the house.
So this was a comedy?
Yeah, it was funny.
Pretty funny.
It was funny.
Pretty sweet ending, if you ask me.
It was funny.
Five-star comedy.
I did a joke. I did a joke about something, and the audience tried to clam up on me. I said, "Don't even fucking try to clam up. You just watched a movie about a guy kill his wife, and you all laughed." So don't even fucking try it.
That's the best.
That wasn't real, though.
Really?
People cannot escape from comedy the way they escape in movies.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
I was there with Frankie French and Reggie.
Mm. Oh, yeah. All black.
Yeah.
Definitely all black. Yeah. Reggie Melbro. Been on the podcast before.
Yeah.
It's funny you should say that about comedy with the thing that's going on with Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo.
It's a CH in French. It's more like an SH. Yeah.
Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo. And the H is kind of like, you just kind of forget the H.
There was a rally going on today. Right now, as a matter of fact, in France, I guess, they're 6 hours ahead. I'm not eating.
No, just cough. Just coughing.
Vamp a little bit.
So we need to have, like real radio stations have a button that'll mute your mic. The cough button. So you can do all that shit. No one will hear you.
Yeah.
We could buy mics that have those.
You get the realness with us.
Yeah.
If you have $200 a piece.
So I was, this is Sunday, by the way, people. So I was laying in bed and I was watching Melissa Harris Perry, and she had Liz Winstead on. Now, for those who don't know, Liz Winstead created The Daily Show. That's her claim to fame.
Yep. Very liberal.
And she's also a comedian. I'm doing air quotes when I say that. Comedian. Comedian activist.
Comedian. Lovely and talented. Liz Winstead.
Yes.
You guys ready for a woman?
Huh? She said,
you guys ready for a female?
She used to be on Air America. She had a show with Chuck D on Air America, which I think really just amounted to her listening to Chuck D a lot.
Hey, Chuck, is the D for Democrat? I hope.
Going, "I don't know if that's really true, Chuck." There was a lot of that.
Yeah. Shut up, bitch.
And he's getting into it. And when the Daniel, well, she said that she stands with the Charlie Hebdo people, which of course we all do.
You right.
Know, well, she was like, well, they're doing satire, and I stand behind anybody making jokes.
Well,
and I stand with them. And I'm like, okay, well, you didn't stand behind Daniel Tosh during the rape allegation. Yep. She was like leading the charge of the Light Brigade to get him.
Right, but not kill him. See,
this is that's what she.
They don't deserve to die. They just deserve to
have a career.
Have me yell at them
to not do their. I'm hearing people say that now about Charlie Hebdo. That
well, they had a lot of.
They shouldn't have the. They shouldn't be drawing the cartoons because the cartoons are offensive.
Charlie Hebdo was. I mean, as they used to, as they have said, we offend everybody. But now people are digging shit up. Like, oh, they're pretty racist, and they're this and that, and. I don't know if these aren't the best allies to have. I mean, that's not the point. That's kind of the point, is that even shit you disagree with should be allowed to be said.
Yeah, right.
Without, like, getting shot. But people are pulling up shit that Charlie Hebdo has written and being like, this is not really what I signed up for, you know, because they just assumed this was some freedom fighters, you know, for free speech. And they weren't. They were people who just like to fuck with you, you know.
But you should be a freedom fighter for free speech. If you believe it, you should go ahead and
that's the tough part
to
reconcile.
Stand behind him, stand behind him.
Right.
I mean, there's consequences for the things that you say, but death shouldn't be one of them. You know what I mean?
But I mean, you shouldn't really lose your job either. Because that's what she wanted to happen to Tosh.
Not so much lose his job, just don't ever say the things you said again.
Right. Technically, for Tosh, lose his job.
Well, yeah, that's the way they do it.
And
is,
not even on television, by the way. He was just in a comedy club audience.
Right. Yeah. And we don't even know what he said because it was one audience member's report. But the way they frame it is, no, I'm not for censorship. I don't want you to get arrested. I'm not for, you know, punishment where you get killed. I want it to be your idea to not do these jokes. So I'm going to keep pressing you and pressing the network that employs you until you say, maybe I shouldn't do it. So the end result is still essentially censorship.
Right.
But it's just a way around, you know, making a law against it. It's just pressuring the guy, boycotts, whatever. So, but your goal is to have people not talk like that. You know, you don't want Daniel Tosh doing those jokes. That's the goal.
Right.
So
they want people to have freedom of speech, but, so you have freedom of speech, just don't talk, don't offend anybody. Through your speech. You can have freedom of speech, just don't offend anybody. That's what they want.
All of that's a bunch of bullshit. It's like going up on stage and being like, I got 5 minutes of like material that won't offend anyone and just stand up there and just look at everybody for 5 minutes. And just done.
We go to spots where people say nigger all the time. Right. White comics. There was a big love affair with that. I think that's kind of died
over.
Down.
Yeah, about 06, 07, 08.
Kind of died down. But there was a love affair with that for a long time. The big one who got called out was Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
And
the nigger era, that's what that was?
Well,
it was the final frontier for white comics.
I don't think it was Wyatt Cenac wasn't the one who called her out. It was who called out Sarah Silverman?
No, it was W. Kamau Bell?
It was Kamau.
Yeah.
Kamau called her out on a thing. But Kamau didn't say, don't say that.
Right.
He just said, oh, you're ignorant for saying it, but I'm not telling you not to say it. And then she went on a roast and people talked about her being old and her feelings got hurt.
Yeah,
and she went on Kamau's show and was like, now I understand.
Right.
Yeah, because that's your thing.
Yeah. You but know. I mean, like you get old over time. Old ain't something you don't just start old. Like you start black. So I don't get it.
I just took a crash course in being discriminated against. You guys were right all along.
Like old. Like I can make fun of anyone else for being old. Anyone's older than me is old. Like that's
but for her, the idea was that calling a woman old in Hollywood brands her and has consequences. Blah blah blah. And there's a lot of ripple effect with those jokes.
Right.
But she didn't see any ripple effect with the N-word jokes. You know, that never occurred
to her. By N-word, he means Nagasaki's.
Nagasaki. I got this new ninja joke I'm working on. That's how people would talk back in like 07. Like, the joke would be about their job. Like, they would find a way to shoehorn the word in. And they'd be like, but that's what they wouldn't call the joke. The bit about the job. They would call it the N-word joke. I got my joke I'm working on. And then Sarah Silverman and people like that, more famous comics, were sort of pushing that. I mean, you know, Louis C.K. got away with it, so I'm going to try to get away with it. That was a lot of the open micers were doing.
Mm.
And W. Kamau Bell called her out on it. But she wasn't doing anything other than trying to be as edgy as possible. It was just, here's the next thing I can do to be edgy. Which was what a lot of Charlie Hebdo is doing.
Yeah.
We're just going to push buttons. We're going to needle people.
Push.
And then they pushed buttons, and people were like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, this is the thing about when I say about the Muslim religion is it's full of crazy people. But it's not full of any more crazy people than any other religion. The thing about the Muslim religion is it's so much more vast than any other religion that there are more crazies in their religion. You see what I'm saying? There's just so many more Muslims that there's going to be more nut cases.
But above ground crazy people too, because at least with Christianity, I'm not gonna say at least with them, but with Christianity, a lot of them are under the table. And then the few that you do see, everyone else tries to push them right back down. Like, oh no, you ain't fucking this up for us.
Yeah.
They run shit in this country.
Yeah.
A lot. They run a lot of shit here. So who wants to lose that power? Because some dude wants to blow up abortion clinic.
And any of these people that, like the guy Timothy McVeigh, he would call himself a Christian. The guy that shot the abortion doctor, Christian.
Well, Timothy McVeigh didn't do what he did for religion.
No, but that guy that shot the abortion doctor did.
Well, I mean the abortion guy did. And there have been other like people who've bombed abortion clinics. They've done it because of God. Like that's the parallel, I think, when you're doing it specifically because. I'm doing God's work because he apparently is incapable.
Incapable.
Even though he's all powerful.
Well, I mean, it's also a thing where I don't want to say it's a white thing, but it's the same kind of mindset where it's just them. Because for black people, anything one black person does is all of us.
Yeah.
For some reason.
White people are great at running away at not feeling that, not owning that. It's like, oh no, lone wolf.
Yeah. Lone wolf, lone gunman.
You know, he doesn't represent all of us or any of us, for that matter. He doesn't represent anything. He was just from parts unknown. Here comes a white guy.
Accidental white. Like,
yeah. So there's no connection. Even if you're Christian, even if you grew up next door to the dude, like, I didn't even know him. He was quiet. He never talked. Like, you just run away. You disassociate with him. But it doesn't work the other way because other groups are monolithic in the mainstream's eyes.
Right.
So it's like, these damn Muslims.
Right.
Not these four crazy dudes, you know.
Yeah.
So, or these black people or these black Muslims. You know, you can combine them, but there's no separation. There's no like, that's a weird singular dude out there doing that shit, you know.
Yeah. You know how many times I've been called Tim in the hallway out there?
Probably as many times as I have.
Just last, Saturday.
Yeah. Because you look a lot alike.
Well, you know, with the shaved head and stuff now, yeah.
No.
You know,
so. Even maybe more, but not
even
really.
Even with the shaved head, no.
Well, that's, Randolph's daughter calls people fucking Courtney all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, so.
No, well, it was a grown man who was like, he was apologizing to Tim, and he was apologizing to me, and I was just like, I just listened to it all, and I was like, all right, cool, man, but I'm not Tim. And then I went to do my time on stage.
I'll let Tim know. What's your name?
Did you want me to tell him, or are you going to go tell him yourself?
And he was just like, oh, my God, I just did it. This is what I talk to my friends about all the time, and I'm the guy that did it. And I'm like,
were you practicing for when you talked to Tim? Is that what was going on?
We're running lines. Am I Tim right now? Because I'll run the lines with you.
All right, from the top.
I was like, hey, man, Tim. Look, it's all good, man. You're not the first black person I haven't been to, or like you're not the first person I'm like, oh yeah, he didn't even ask. He just like just went into it. And I was like, yeah.
Maybe they should do that. They should literally name, like, you know, five Tim Millers walked into an office building today and opened fire. Like, just give it. Even though you're making it individual, it's still just a bunch of them. You know?
Man, that's. I mean, you know, I do that just to see Tim's reaction every time. It's like, I can't walk the streets without somebody walking with me.
You should have given that guy shitty advice under the name of Tim Miller.
Under the name of Tim Miller.
You should have just fucked with that dude.
You got to go up there with your dick out, man. Take your dick out.
Look, I did that in high school. But someone called me Abdul, and I was just like, yeah, just go meet me so such and such and such, and I just like let her just go.
This girl
was a girl that I was trying to find Abdul, and I just sent her into like a whole different part of the school, and just like, hey, fuck it.
Whoever she found, she called him Abdul.
Hey, Abdul, give me your rings, your watch, run that purse.
I'm Jermaine. No, well, where's Abdul? I don't know. She goes up to the next dude. Hey, Abdul. I had a sketch idea about that. I could make it funny enough, but it was a sketch about a guy who was cool enough with his black friends, and they let him say that word around them.
Ooh.
But he also thought all black people looked alike. The sketch is just him walking up to the people, hey, what's up? And then just getting his ass kicked over and over again. Thinking he had it. Thinking
That's
he
funny.
Had the key. It is. It's hilarious.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Who would we cast in that? Who would
spoiler
be
spoiler alert?
David Twitty.
Yeah, now that someone's gonna steal that idea, don't steal it, dude. It's
He'd be perfect for it. Actually.
David Twitty.
What? Why'd you hit me? Yeah, a lot of shit like that.
but we're cool, right, Raheem?
Not Raheem. Damn it, Tim's an asshole.
It's all Tim. There's a sketch right there. It's Tim and David Twitty. Keep calling people. He calls everybody Tim Miller.
Tim's an asshole, man. I don't know if Twitty would want to be branded that guy.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, like, he's a cool guy to do it with. Like, yeah. he'll know context, but then, like, once that's on the internet, someone will just take that snippet.
Right, right.
Comedian David Twitty calls Tim Miller the N-word.
His Twitter handle is Kill Twitty.
No, right now it's Twite Privilege.
Twite Privilege. See, okay, that's so funny. Someone's going to look him up and say, oh, this guy is a fucking racist.
And it's like, you don't know him and you don't understand that he understands context and that we're writing, right. Like, if we're all writing something, that's the whole point. But all it takes is somebody to take your 15 minutes and snip it down to 15 seconds and you're fucked for the rest of your life. Like, you know, your kids will somehow, like, oh, man, my dad was a comedian when he was, oh, shit.
Oh, that
dad. No.
It's like Ari Shaffir with The Amazing Racist.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Because people will look it up. Sometimes people pass that shit around and think it's real. He was doing these sketches. This was like 10 years ago. This is like pre-YouTube. Mm. And he would just go like be obviously openly racist with like hidden cameras to see how people would react. And people still occasionally pass those clips. Look at this fucking asshole. He's at a mosque. You know, he's with his fucking yarmulke on talking
he's,
shit.
He's got an hour coming on Friday.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
on Comedy Central. Ari.
But
what do we think of Charlie Hebdo?
Are people going to stop doing?
Do we support Charlie Hebdo?
It's in the abstract.
NBC didn't show any of the pictures. Everybody else showed the actual art. Yeah. They wouldn't show any.
Well, that was the article I sent. Was in Germany. Someone firebombed a paper that
showed Charlie Hebdo.
The pictures. I mean, you can't escape them now. They're on the internet. So you don't a paper doesn't have to publish it.
I actually like the
you can't
one.
Can't firebomb Twitter.
The one they did where ISIS was cutting off Muhammad's head.
Right.
It's like that's an actual thing. They would want to cut off Muhammad's head. Muhammad was very, and we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad people. Muhammad was very pro woman, pro woman's rights, pro love your neighbor, that kind
of
stuff.
It's also symbolic of them
gonna whack his head off,
shitting on the religion and misinterpreting it.
Yes. So that one's actually spot on, in my opinion.
Mm. I don't.
Spot on.
Cartoonists of the world.
But look, if they're not going to run, if NBC's not going to run that, but then he could talk all day about what's that movie? The Interview.
The
Interview.
The Interview.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I don't know if there's so much question around free speech around The Interview, and then you suddenly blow up about. Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo.
Sounds
don't
like
worry. Don't worry about it, man.
I don't
I'm just
know.
Tired of the Liz Winstons of the world.
Right.
Going on and telling people, particularly when they tell people involved in humor, you pick and choose the thing you want to be upset about and then say it with a straight face. That's the thing. I was watching, I was like, ugh. You just saying this with a straight face, huh?
Yeah.
Ugh. What I should have did was... reached out to Metzger and told him to put it on. I've done that before. One time, Kilstein was on. I immediately tweeted at Metzger, if you're anywhere near a TV, watch this.
Yeah. Well, that's it. People treat Metzger like he's the hired gun.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Kurt, can you go rant about this on Facebook?
Well, I know his past. I know his past with Kilstein.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh. He was like, oh, thank you.
Can you put into words what I'm thinking, Kurt?
You're very good
at that. I mean, I don't give a fuck about the magazine Charlie Hebdo. Like, I never cared about it. I'm not going to act like I do now.
Yeah.
But it's just the principle of it. I mean, that's people are all they're saying is you shouldn't get killed for it. But when it comes down to it, if your life is in danger, would you actually still publish this shit?
It depends on how defiant about it you are. If you feel like publishing it is worth the point, do you feel like the point is worth it?
Because they
do
got,
you feel like the point is worth dying over?
Yeah,
that's the question you got to ask yourself. Do you feel like the point is worth dying over,
or just the principle?
The principle of it. Yeah, is it worth it? If it's worth it, then yeah, you print the you roll the dice, make sure you got your insurance paid up.
Get some locks on your doors.
Roll the dice. It's like, okay, so the abortion doctor who got killed,
right?
He was getting regular death threats. That
right.
It was worth it to him to say, "I'm going to do this,"
right?
And whatever happens, happens. I'm going to get up every morning. I'm going to put a bulletproof vest on. And I'm going to go to work. I'm going to check my car, make sure there's no bombs on it every morning.
Well, then there's the other thing where it's like these cartoons shouldn't have led to death. But Mayor de Blasio's words, kill two cops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or Bill O'Reilly saying 24 times on his show, Tiller the baby killer.
Yeah.
We need to stop this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I had nothing to do with it. I didn't incite anyone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it's like people will play both sides. When it's convenient for them, same with like Liz Winstead, like it's convenient for her, she'll want to shut someone down. But when it's like, when it gets to be a bigger issue, she doesn't want to, she just doesn't want to be on the wrong side of the issue. So she's not going to side with the killers.
I mean,
not that she even ideologically agrees with them, but she has demonstrated that she doesn't like, I guess, undesirable speech.
Yeah, well, Joe Rogan told a story about her during this whole Tosh thing because he started in the area that she was in at. She was running an open mic. She's a headliner that week of the club, and sometimes people will come in early and they'll ask the headliner, "Hey, will you run the open mic?"
Yeah.
She immediately put rules on the comics. You can't talk about this. You can't talk about that.
Yeah.
It's my open mic. I don't want you talking about this. My open Michelle, basically. I don't want you talking about this. I don't want you talking about that. She immediately put all these rules on people. Rogan said, "I just walked out. I was like, you're not going to tell me what I can and can't talk about."
Especially at open mic night.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, by the way, you heard about the story about the guy getting hit with the baseball bat, right?
Yeah, in Seattle.
Damn.
Yeah, and this is the thing where I said in the comments, this is why we have to stop coddling the crazies.
That's what he did.
Well, no, he put him on. And then he realized that he put him on.
Put him on I don't even think I would have
put him on the first time.
He put him on 3 weeks earlier.
When I see your name on the list is Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, is your name Jesus Cristo? Are you Spanish?
Jesus Hebdo?
No, I'm Jesus Christ. You ain't going.
Well, plus, apparently, Randolph's mic just fell. That's the loudest mic falling. that was like a
all that needed to the sound. The next sound should have been.
Oh Lord Jesus, please! I'm halfway down.
What is it?
The mic fell off the table.
Yeah, I don't know how it got to the
mic stand fell off the
table.
Yeah. Everything good? We didn't break anything, did we?
Nah.
The fuck are we talking about?
Oh, the guy.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, he had
been banned from other shows in Seattle.
Yeah.
So people knew who the fuck he was.
People knew who he was. That's the thing about comedy. Comedy brings out the nut jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also close-knit, so you know who's crazy within that. Yeah. At least the first 2 weeks.
You should know. First 2 weeks, you know. Like the word spreads. Like, hey, this dude, don't put him on. Like, you know, people who run shows will talk to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes people say, he didn't do shit at my show.
Yeah.
So, like, they put him on anyway.
Yeah.
And then they banned. And this guy got banned. I mean, they said, don't come back. He snuck in. Imagine someone sneaks in here and hides behind the stage. We're at the green room at the draft house. Hides behind the stage for a while. Like, he probably sat through four or five comics.
Four or five. Just getting madder and madder. They're going to let this guy go up there and talk about Starbucks? I can't talk about my manifesto about Christ?
This is bullshit, man. And then when the host, he was back there for probably, who knows, half hour, hour. It was before the show started. The host goes on to, you know, whatever.
Fucking,
I don't know if it was the start.
He's fucking warming up like a guy in an on-deck circle.
He's got
like,
the little donut on his back.
Donut on the back. He's warming up.
He's got a little weight on his back.
This is just, like, I see more crazy, the quiet crazy, where he's just sitting there and just shaking in a chair behind the stage. Just like, yeah, I'm just, these motherfuckers. You know, just that training day monologue. Like, these, you motherfuckers. You think you can do this to me?
You think you keep me off that stage, motherfucker?
He's got Lose Yourself going in his iPod. You know how little kids, like, they'll in Little League, when they're in the on-deck circle, they'll watch the pitcher and swing to time it?
Yeah.
He's probably in the back, like, swinging on people's punchlines. Like, yeah, I got the timing down now. Runs out, hits the guy twice.
Twice.
A direct shot in the head. Like, you know, the guy didn't see it coming, obviously.
Yeah, cracked the skull.
Two places. Now, then that's all the real story is.
Was it a random person that he hit, or was it just like...
It was the guy who ran the show.
He hit the host show.
The guy who was denying him.
So he waited to the host.
And this audience from seeing his power.
Yeah. So he waited to the host. He was like, all right, he's up now. Yeah. Cool, he's up now.
All right, I'm Jesus.
Which we've actually been all right here at the Draft House because we don't do the host, and we farm that out. Yeah. So go ahead and hit the host.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, that's Tim.
No, my name's Romaine. Stop.
I want to know, because they haven't told the whole... I want to know what then... happened after the second
apparently
blow.
Apparently the comics attacked him, which I find hard to believe.
I'm wondering which ones, because it's fight or flight, and I think most comics are flight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and most comics are flight. There are a few who are world star.
Yeah.
Pull out your phone and record this, and there are a couple
there's who probably a couple jump. Of ex-athletes there. Like, there's just a Pete Bladel, probably. Yeah.
Hey, stop that guy.
A couple of ex-athletes.
Hey, stop that, Jesus.
I've been through a few. That spot on Woodbridge again. It's
pulling the mic a little bit?
I forgot that spot in Woodbridge. Oh man,
Brittany's
had a few where, you know, you had to stand by the door like, all right, you gotta take this side, you take that side, it's a whole
post up.
All right, we gotta post up because this motherfucker is just acting too weird on stage.
Well, let's think, if you kick him out, he might come back angry.
Right.
If you put him up, he might make it extremely awkward for everyone.
And then he gets angrier.
And then he won't get off stage. I've seen comics hand out literature to the crowd. Comics in quotes. Open mic crazies. Everybody please pass one. Take one and pass it. These are my letters that I wrote to Congress. I've had 5 bills passed. They never give me credit. I saw that dude at multiple open mics years ago. And he got on.
Yeah, people put him on.
Because people are like, anyone should be able to sign up and go on.
And that's the problem.
Right.
No.
Anyone should be able to go on. Somebody put that in the comments field.
Yeah.
After I said, you got to start policing, man. They're like, no, everybody should be able to go on. I'm like, really?
It's your show.
Really? You put them on your show. Good luck.
Also, and get hit.
Consider the audience. Consider the crowd. They don't want to see that dude.
Well, here, the thing is that the other comedians want to see that. They want to see somebody crashing
someone
and burning.
Someone they can shit on.
And not doing
better.
Well. Yeah, and then they can feel better about their little piece of shit act that they got.
Well, that was his Charlie Hebdo moment.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you keep fucking with me, I'm coming back with a bat, you know? So that was kind of a small version of that. They put the guy's picture of the Jesus Christ guy. I thought he was going to be like a younger guy. He was like an older dude.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
scruffy old, probably homeless dude. I don't know where he got a bat.
I don't know. That look always kind of... It scares me because you don't... Like, crazy is always unpredictable.
Right.
So, like, he might go up and... have an awkward set and whatnot, and then he just like it hits him that happened, and he just starts wailing on people in the crowd. And
well, we know comics who let their anger take over a little too much. Yeah. We were talking about that before.
Too much.
Not that they would attack like that, but it's not just not much of a line to cross. You know,
true.
But I just want to point out this was a lone wolf comic. He's not like all of us, and he's not like any other white person either. He's not like any Jesus Christ I've ever known.
Any Cristo.
I mean, if this happened in a black room, I would expect them to condemn publicly. The comic who did that. The guy who thinks he's black Jesus. But white Jesus Christ, lone wolf.
White Jesus Christ, lone wolf.
Lone wolf Jesus.
Yeah, all by himself.
You
want to
read that email?
Yeah, because we got 3 emails. We'll get to one. I guess we'll just do them in order. How about that? We got a couple emails about last week's episodes, actually. Howard.
Howie!
Short one. Howard's email titled, "The Difference Between Being Nice and Simping." What's the difference? He didn't say simping. He said simping.
Simping ain't easy.
Simping. Basically being a simpleton, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, it's Howard. Just wanted to ask Randolph a quick question.
Sure, baby.
Branching off the discussion about the world trip girl from a couple weeks back.
Oh, yeah.
When interacting with the opposite sex, when does being a decent person cross into dreaded simping territory? What are some common examples?
Letting your girl go around the world with another dude.
That's a good example.
that's probably the best example.
Well, there's a lot of that overdoing.
If they ain't family, definitely not. that shit.
No. She went around the world with some stranger.
Some stranger. Yeah.
That's not even.
Yeah.
Simping is kind of. I mean, like, it's all. Sometimes people might even associate that with the friend zone. Like doing too much. Like, we know a guy who was into a girl, but he hadn't made it known to her, and she didn't seem to pick up on it. But he would just do shit like, it's like, oh, I gotta go out to my car, and I made cupcakes for everyone. Oh, I'll come. I'll carry them in for you.
Yes.
And shit like that, like, yes, just being a servant or subservient.
Yes, you're allowing yourself to be, and you know that the only reason you say I'll go out and help you carry in cupcakes because cupcakes are so heavy. The only reason you're doing that is to try to get ass.
Well, right. Also, yeah, you do, also you want some alone time with her. This is instead of risking like pushing the relationship further. Randall's eating a banana. You want some alone time. This is your little alone time.
But
but
he's not doing it from a good place either. Because when you you're doing good deeds to get ass. Like, you're like, you just come out and say that up front now. Like, right. there comes a point where you stop playing that silly ass. Hey, can I do this for you? Okay, you know you're so pretty. At some point, you're just gonna be like, look, I'm trying to fuck, and it's not.
But they don't do that. And that's
you know
the
what
thing
they do. They do. These cupcakes are delicious.
When you're simping,
you're really
you don't
good
do
cook.
That,
right?
And that's the difference between helping somebody carry a fucking sofa up a flight of stairs and going to the car to carry some cupcakes back. There's a huge difference in that. I'm helping you carry this sofa up the stairs because I'm a nice dude and I'm stronger than you, and I'll give you a hand.
and you walk away, and you don't, like, a lot of guys, I think we all did this at one point where you just go, hey, I'll help you with this, and you do all this helping, and you're like, huh, nothing's coming from this, and I've been here for 3 hours.
Right.
And then, like, you get a little older and you think, oh shit, I'm really not a nice guy.
But you know what?
If I'm doing that just to get the ass.
Some dudes,
just say it outright.
They don't want to risk the no, so they will just do it for the compliments from the girl. Like, to them, that's like, okay, I'm not fucking, but I'm not putting myself out there to get rejected.
Yeah.
So I'm getting like a pseudo relationship feel out of this because she's telling me how nice and how great I am.
Right,
and I get my ego stroked.
But you're not getting
nothing
the
else is getting stroked. But the ego's good.
Yeah, why would you want that as a man? You don't.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You're not going to convince this broad to get with you. You don't want that.
You don't want that. But sometimes you settle for plan B.
And she already took your time. Like, you already paid for with your time. You ain't getting that back. She still got the pussy. Like, you're not getting that back when you know that this. You're trying to pay for this ass, and you're not getting it. I don't know that's beyond me now to even think that.
Because people don't see it as paying for. They don't want to objectify it to that level. So they just see
that's
it as,
what it is.
That's
I'm
all
just
it
hanging
is.
Out with this girl, and there's no paying. That's crazy. Why would you talk like that? But because they don't want to expose themselves. You know. So I just looked up simping in Urban Dictionary. By the way,
it's acronym for something.
To simp, verb, tricking. Groveling, or basically just letting females walk all over you for no apparent reason other than your own bitch madeness.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And the truly sad part of this is that you know when you're simping. You know inside when you're simping.
Right?
You just keep doing it because you want to be in the presence of women.
You know what it is?
And then at some point you decide, I ain't doing this shit.
That's when she comes around too.
Yeah.
That's the funny part about it.
Yeah.
That's when she comes around when you're just like, man, I don't have time for this shit. Hey, what are you doing? I got stuff going on. And you leave and she's all like, oh.
It's like,
the reason why is because women don't respect no man who's simping on them. They don't respect that.
It's like that. It's like the pimp thing. You find something they like, and then you give it to them.
Give it to them, take it away.
You know, like when you listen to a great song, and it's like you're really into it, and then they drop the beat out for a few bars. When that beat comes back in, that's the most satisfying feeling.
Yeah, the drop?
They withdrew it from you. You're like, oh, that's all I want. And then they hold it back. And then when it comes back, you're like, oh, I'm gonna fuck this DJ. I'm gonna have sex with this guy.
And that's so you know when it's the thing is how is that you know when it's simping. Everybody knows. You know, any man with a modicum of self awareness knows when he's trying to get some ass. Now, you might lie to yourself, which is sad.
Right.
Well, if you don't know you're lying, you think this is just you're like, oh, okay, I'm making progress. I'm talking to this
girl.
You're
making goddamn progress. Yeah, first of all, women decide within like 30 seconds of meeting you. Yeah, I'll fuck this dude. I may not fuck him tonight, but I'll fuck him at some point.
Yeah,
it may not be tonight.
Right.
She already knows that. She's already made the decision based on you. So she's going to act accordingly.
And right. Guys, within about 30 seconds, are like, yeah, I'll move her couch.
Yeah.
I'll fucking move her couch.
You got to stop paying for it with your time.
I'll feed her cat.
You ain't getting that
town.
Shit back. Don't pay with, like, she takes 30 seconds, you take 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And evaluate, okay, this is what I want. I want to fuck her.
And that's and the thing just, where Howard says, when interacting with the opposite sex, when does being a decent person cross into dreaded? A lot of those dudes kind of couch that in, I'm just being nice. I'm being a decent person. You can be a decent person and also pursue.
Still try to get ass.
Yeah. Right.
People do it all the time.
You're not a monster for
But they're not.
Monster.
They're not doing it noble. They're not noble about it. They're not being honest about going into this, knowing that they just want to have sex with this girl. Just fucking do it. You want to move her couch? Move her couch because you want to move her couch and then leave or bring up cupcakes and bounce. Be like, look, I'm gonna snatch one of these cupcakes. All right, bitch, later. And then you just leave. But don't sit there and go, hey, these are so nice. How long did you take to make them? Oh, this is very beautiful.
Because you're lying. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah, you're lying.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
They don't know they're lying. Some people
you're lying.
Know.
You don't care about the fucking cupcakes.
Right.
You care about the cupcake, not those.
Right. Because you're the guy that's bringing up the cupcakes, but you also got a guy that's fixing a car, that's fixing her electricity, that's sending her computer.
She's got nine, ten dudes.
She's got like nine, ten dudes.
She also has a dude who comes over at night and just knocks the bottom out.
You know what he does? He goes on her refrigerator.
And eats them fucking cupcakes.
Eats those cupcakes and then rolls out.
He drinks that milk you bought to go with them cupcakes.
And rolls out. Doesn't even say
the milk you bought. Yo milk.
Yep.
Yo milk that you bought. He drinks that shit and then he leaves.
And he leaves.
He leaves.
Rolls out. Probably passes you on the way to the 7-Eleven to buy more condoms.
Yeah.
Just, hey man, how you doing, bro? Hey, cool. And you don't even know that's the dude that's knocking the bottom out. So.
And then one day you wake up like, did Keith drink my milk?
I don't Why like is that milk that I buy keep right over here keep disappearing?
It's just really, I drank it all. It's really
I just
good.
Drank it all.
Yeah. It's really good. You should get
just
more.
Just drink it all.
You know, right my calcium, you know, us women.
Don't simp, Howard. No reason to.
Yeah, and it doesn't make you less decent.
Yeah, it doesn't make you not a decent person.
It makes you more honest. Actually, just take the time and just say The more just shit you just say to women in general. That's what helped me out of my divorce. It's like I was like, all right, I just need to go out there and talk. And after the divorce, I didn't care about what I said to women afterwards because I've been in that for so long.
Right.
That, you know, I already talked to women however I, whatever.
You've,
so I'm just
you've
like,
taken them off the pedestal or stopped mythologizing women.
Right.
It's just like, oh, it's just another person.
Right. Yeah. Once that happens, you just be like, hey, man, look, I got like 20 minutes. I don't really have the time to break this down.
And
what's happening?
And women respond to that. You got a better smell on you when you do that.
It's not desperate, yeah.
Yeah. The smell is just better. You just smell better. Right? you smell better.
This guy smells like he moves furniture.
That guy smells like he'll carry your cupcakes to the ends of the fucking earth.
I'll come with you. I'll come get your cupcakes with you. I'll hold the door.
Yeah, that guy we're talking about has lived at least four Greek tragedies that we know of.
Oh, situations that...
that we know of. And those are just the four we know of. So that means there's probably twice that number.
You mean she came back home with you and was laying in bed with you?
Laying in bed with you naked, nothing...
Well, the naked one's different. That was a different scenario. But the other one was...
Goddamn Greek tragedy.
That was... When he tells those stories, I would...
Oh, yeah, that's two different stories.
We'd be like, all right, you were watching a movie where? In my bedroom. I've been in your room. You don't have any furniture except for the bed. You were sitting on the bed? You were on the bed. Was she laying down
on the bed?
Yeah, she was like laying down. Oh, were you laying? Yeah, I was kind of like halfway laying down. And then what? Movie ended. She went home.
We watched Heroes. I walked around Georgetown with this girl for like an hour, and then I walked her back to her place.
Drove her back and talked to her till 5 a.m., and she kept bringing up sex.
Sex. Jumping on him and...
She kept, what do you like about sex? Oh, we talked about what we like about sex.
Girl drives with him in a car. Another girl. This is now we're on a third girl. Uh-huh. Girl drives with him in a car to Canada.
Jesus Christ.
10 hours in a car to go to a shitty comedy contest. 10 hours in a car. 10 hours in a car is 5 dates. Think about it like that.
Yeah.
It's about 5 dates.
That's 10 dates.
Yeah.
If a date is an hour, it could be a coffee date.
I think it's 5
that's,
dates.
I would say
five. For me, it's 5 full days. 2-hour dates, that's 5 dates. Get to the car. They're sharing the hotel room.
Uh-huh.
Sharing the hotel room.
Mm-hmm. They get to the hotel room. Oh, shit. There's only one bed in this room.
Oh, God. I was
okay.
hoping not.
And she, I think she booked it. But whatever the
case.
Oh,
God.
We're not done. Because we got to wrap this one up.
My heart hurts.
She's cute. Right.
So they go to the comedy contest. She was in it. He was just accompanying her to the comedy contest. She
drove her up.
She does not advance. But then she now, after the show, she's like, oh, I'm sure I'm tired.
Yeah,
I'm going back to the room.
And I'm feeling so bad for not winning.
Hey, right.
Yawn.
And he was like, I'm going to sit here and talk to the local comics for a while. So she goes alone back to the room.
Alone.
He hangs out with the comics. And then after who knows how long, a couple hours or whatever, he goes back into the room. And she's asleep in the bed. And he had never, when they checked into the room, because they didn't have a relationship, they weren't like hooking up or anything. He never said, wait, what's the sleeping arrangement tonight? Because we only have one bed. That was never even broached. He didn't bring that up. So now he goes into the room.
So you know what that means? The sleeping arrangements were, we're both sleeping in this fucking bed.
Better get on this side.
Well, he goes
give me a little
room.
Poke and wake me up like that.
She's out. She's asleep. Okay.
See how you said, give me a little poke and wake me up? You see how you just said that?
That's not simple. That's he goes into the room. She's in the bed.
Oh, God.
And then he had never cleared it with her, like, what's going on sleep-wise? So rather than crawl in bed with her, he slept in the tub, the bathtub.
That's simping.
She woke up the next day and was like, you could have just gotten in the
bed. Why'd you get in the bed?
I mean, there's room in the bed. Like, even if you're just going to go to sleep.
After 10 hours and a, like, yawn, I'm sleepy.
You know what I want to do?
How about you? Because that's what, like, married people do. Like, I'm going to bed, so you going to bed.
Yeah.
But when you're separated, it's like, yawn, I'm going to go to sleep. All these people are here.
Right.
Would you like, we share a room. Would you like to join me? All of that is just like, just
hey,
sign here on the dotted line and
you
get that dick. Like, that's all it is.
I know we're in this other country.
Another country.
We have this whole scene. We're only here for like a day or two, but I'd rather go to bed. Wink, wink. Are you coming to bed?
Right. And women don't tell you things without you.
Oh, she's like, telling you.
She's telling, like, they, like, they don't give you information. You. Without you having to use it, like,
dude.
Oh, I have these things with me. Oops,
The third one.
That you know what that is? That's the after the fifth date, invite you up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was overdue by two dates at that point.
Before that, I
but
say,
day three, they were like in New
I
Jersey.
Think before that, hadn't she driven him home? He drove her home.
She kissed him.
That was before that. She kissed him and got out of the car giggling.
She planted.
Was that before the trip or after the trip?
That was before.
That was before the trip,
I think that was
right?
before. She planted a quick kiss on him and then kind of
like
scurried
soul
away.
Like a scurried away, giggly.
He was dropping her off at her house. Now, he didn't. Now, he might not. A lot of guys aren't bold enough to say, fuck this, put it in park and get out. So I could see him like, what the fuck was that? Oh, that was weird. And then leaving and then processing it later. But he didn't follow up on that ever. Not the next day.
That time I told him, I let that one go. I said,
catches you off guard.
What you should have did was...
Your guard is down.
Park the car, get out, walk over to the door, knock on the door. And when she comes in the door, just grab her and kiss the shit out of her. And then just close the door and go back to your car and drive off.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's one of my favorite power moves, to be honest with you.
That's the power
you
move
gotta,
of
you
all
gotta
power
because at the end of the day, no matter how many speeches are up there, she wants you to be your fucking man.
Yeah, I said, go over to the door.
And
after she does, just don't say shit, but just let it be known that little... kiss that wasn't enough.
Do you, I like to do the whole.
Do you know how long?
Come back here.
Do you know how long she looked
come
through
here,
that
come
front
over.
Window?
Yeah,
with the blinds open. Like, oh, is he just? Oh, he must have gone around the block to park. She's just waiting. She's just wait. Like 5 minutes go by. Oh yeah, parking's tough this time. His neighborhood. Yeah, parking's rough. He'll be back in a second.
When
she's
I
just
told
Miss Kravitz
that,
looking out the blinds.
Right.
He
when
never
I told
shows
him
up.
That was before I knew where he was at.
Yeah.
Mentality wise, because he was like, yeah, I should have done that.
Yeah. I think I got a chance.
Oh, God.
My heart hurts with
that. That's simping, brother.
My heart hurts.
That's, like I said, we know a dude who's been in multiple Greek tragedies. Goddamn
yeah, they're
Shakespeare.
All, we don't have time to get to all the details, but they're all like, oh, man. You like every decision was wrong? How'd you make every decision wrong? You didn't even luck up into an accidental good choice? Not one.
You know. You need like an air traffic controller to just give him that. Here's the lights.
He wouldn't follow it. He'd be the one who'd be like, I didn't see the guy with the lights. I didn't
you
see him.
You are cleared for sex.
He'd be the pilot who said that.
You are cleared for sex.
Just send him a telegram or something. Just old school. She wants the pussy. Stop. Don't. Stop.
Right.
Don't. Stop.
Those are people. We're going to bring this one to a close.
Yeah, we got two short episodes.
3 minutes. Let's go ahead and make this announcement. On February 13th, Valentine's weekend, Friday, Green Room, Draft House. We're going to do Romaine and Lettuce versus Three Guys on Comedy Variety Show.
We don't know what time yet.
We don't really know the time. I'm thinking 9, but we don't really know.
Well, we have the room at 10 every Friday.
Yeah. But I think we could get it. We could get it at 9. We could tell them.
The only thing is if there's a show in the main room and there's a line outside and shit, people come in to hang out in the green room while they're waiting for the doors to open.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure out the schedule.
Figure out the schedule in there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a music variety show, Romaine and Lettuce, great band that you all have heard.
So don't fuck shit up for yourself on Valentine's Day. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
February 13th. We don't know what acts we're putting on. We don't know what
we're
doing.
Are we going to change the name to reflect Valentine's Day?
Maybe. Bring your side piece.
Three guys
on. That's the 13th?
Bring your side piece.
Because the 14th is definitely for the main girl.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Right.
Side piece night.
Yeah. Side piece night.
Saturdays are for the wives. Fridays are for the girlfriends.
Side piece night. That's funny.
I'm gonna make a poster
for that.
That's
funny.
Shit.
So that's the 13th of February. That's when we nailed down a date. We're gonna stop just talking to Jamel about trying to work out some rehearsal time. So
yeah,
we're gonna do something. We don't know what the acts are. Who's gonna be on the show yet? I got some ideas. We're gonna spitball some stuff around.
We got a room to practice.
There'll be some music. There'll be everything.
Yeah,
which is a little unusual for us. It's a little outside of our comfort zones of where we're at. But it should be interesting. At the minimum,
it'll be better than some of the previous Romaine and Lettuce shows, right? We're not going to be the worst show you've ever done, I don't think, right? Let's aim for that. Not be the worst show you guys have.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Because you guys have a high bar, and we could fall short.
Huh. I mean, when I think about it, we've had some shit shows, though. We've had, maybe two pretty shitty shows.
Okay, good.
We had a mental breakdown on one, which was awesome.
Who mentally broke down? Was it one of the band members?
No. It was one of the comics that went up, had a mental breakdown at the Brixton.
But
his set was his main, the show wasn't great, but his set was the mental breakdown.
Okay.
And he had a mental breakdown with the soundtrack, so it was pretty
and, he couldn't just ride it and make funny out of it?
No, he broke down pretty hard, and we record all those shows, so you hear the point where he starts going, and he yells at my bandmates, and we just what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And,
I don't think we're not going to be charging for this, but we are going to do a pass the hat situation multiple times.
Yeah. Right. Pass many hats.
Multiple times. We are going to do that. Okay, people, so come on back on Thursday. We'll be here for you guys. We have another podcast for you. Hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast, as always. We enjoyed bringing it to you guys. I think we gave you everything right up front, so I don't think we have anything else to give you. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
I'm Romain Walters.
We have three guys on. We have three guys out. Tim Miller lives.
I'm sinking up this bitch like Bowser. I pound her, you hound her. I never been sympathetic for simping. These niggas act like the women they crying over. Invite her over, dig her out, then kick her out. Raw dogger than dogger, don't call her till them kids is out. See, I take a different route with everything I do. With some little shit to me, could be like everything to you. You could give a wedding ring to a girl you never screw, and I apologize for that. It must suck to be a fool. I'm tactical, been cracking holes in secondary school.